actually got an email from Jim Paul the other day.
Good afternoon. We are opening up the subcommittee, Ways and Means Subcommittee on Natural Resources for March 23rd, 2017. And we are going to start off with a public hearing and I believe public testimony. I've got the wrong one here. Sorry, I got the wrong committee meeting up. On SB 5537 on the Department of State Lands. And do we have folks signed up? We're ready to go. Lori Satin Spiel.
Very good.
I got it. And Peggy Lynch. Now the two of you coming up. And if you don't know, there are a number of written testimonies that are on OLIS, and I would encourage you to take a look at those.
Thanks.
So Lori, why don't you start off?
Chair Frederick and Co-Chair Witt. Lori Satinspiel for the Oregon School Boards Association, here to vigorously support Senate Bill 5537, Department of State Lands budget. I've been working with the department maybe 10 years since I've been with OSBA. I've had to say it's been a pleasure to work with this department. They call the education stakeholders together quarterly. We talk about the budget, we talk about the projects, we get updates. When they prepare their budget to come forward to the governor for proposal, we go over the policy option packages, we get a chance to talk about what they're doing. As you know and have heard, the Elliott Forest transfer has been a major project for the past several months. And they worked tirelessly to transfer the ownership of the Elliott Forest as outlined by their responsibilities. The transparent process is directed by Director Paul. It's pleasing to watch because of the transparency. I call him on occasion, offer myself up to be helpful in any way I can. We've sat on committees and advisory groups to help with things they might need at the department. A couple of areas I haven't understood, I've gone over, sat down with the staff, and was able to get up to speed and understand it better to be a better stakeholder. I skimmed their strategic plan and glad to see the vision and values with their goals. The goals for success. Cannot say enough good things about the director and the staff at DSL, and very much support the budget, Senator Drodd, without any cuts. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I
appreciate that.
Peggy. Let me write all that down. Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. So it is a pleasure to sit next to OSBA and have this conversation. The League, too, believes that the Department of State Lands is a well-run agency and actively works with its constituents to help them better understand the rules and regulations under which they have to administer and to make sure that that things go well. The League has strong positions on water quality, and that's what really got us engaged with the Department of State Lands, is that we believe that Oregon recognizes the role of wetlands in water quality and in flood management, and with the goal of no net loss of wetlands. It is the cheapest way to keep our water clean. So we feel very strongly about their administration of their removal fill program. Senator Girard has asked about the issue of the federal 404 program versus the program we have here in Oregon related to that issue. And I have been privileged to sit on a number of committees and work groups as we have talked about how we might be able to be more efficient by moving those programs together. But as you have heard from the director, the biggest issue is that in Oregon, the permit holders or the permit applicants really do like working with the state of Oregon. And so if we have the assumption ought to come this direction and not giving it off to the feds. And particularly now that we're talking about the cuts that may be happening in a number of agencies with the federal government. So I can't say more good things about the removal fill and their wetlands program. We support the continuation of the historical filled lands project. Sometimes people actually get together on hard issues and come to conclusions and solutions, This is one of those, and we just need to finish the job. And that's what this, that's what POP 102 does. It simply provides the opportunity to have the private landowner and the agency have this conversation to figure out who owns those historically filled lands in each area. So we certainly support that. The Portland Harbor cleanup effort is must continue. The Portland League in particular has been an active commenter during the decision-making processes. We are glad to see that we may actually have a decision and we need to move forward. The only thing that I would say is, we support the state's diligence in protecting the state's liability, but we also support POP 101s to make sure that they can continue to do that. We look at the DEQ, the $10 million spending that's in the DEQ budget, and wonder if it ought not to be in this budget instead. So that's just a suggestion. We're a longtime supporter of the South Slough Reserve, which is an incredible place for educational opportunities, for research, and for recreation. We were concerned when we heard yesterday of the discussion that there might be a there might possibly be a transfer to state universities, mostly because we know that DSL's management of this piece of property has really allowed for a growth of this asset through them being able to provide through federal grants to have willing sellers increase and expand the South Slough Estuary and Reserve. It was the first in the nation, and it is very, very special. Now we get to the fun part. So the League has watched the state land board struggle with balancing the requirements to provide monies to the Common School Fund while managing a variety of state lands. And of course, the Elliott is the most well-known, although they have acres all over this state. We provided testimony in December of 2014, noting that this is a really difficult issue because it does couple a pristine forest ecosystem to school funding. And our schools and our protection of our forests are both important to us. Somehow or another, we have to find an answer. We participated in meetings of the protocol. We actually think that comments that we made during that discussion improved the document, but we still encourage the state land board to keep this asset in public hands. We are supporting Governor Brown's efforts to find a public ownership solution. We support Senate Bill 847, which is a trust land transfer bill that, although not directly linked to the Elliott, would provide a mechanism for the trust lands that belong to the school kids of Oregon and move them to a public ownership somewhere else in the state. So we believe that that's important. And we will tell you that all along during this process, we have not only talked about the landscape and protecting our salmon and our spotted owl and our marbled murrelets and all of the ESA listed species that are there, but that we also believe that we can promote timber jobs by restoratively thinning the second growth tree farms that exist on the Elliott. The Elliott is more than just one glob of old growth forest. It is a mixture of forests. So we think that we may be able to find a public answer, and we certainly encourage that. We also believe that the forest lands and the massive acres of rangelands provides a diversity in the Common School Fund's portfolio. In your portfolio, I suspect that you have a diversity of assets. The stock market has been friendly the past few years, but in the early 2000s and again in 2009, the fund experienced a loss much greater than the 3 years of timber proceeds lost on the Elliott. I want to make sure that you know that there are they have relatively new acquired lands in Central Oregon, and in case you did not know that, the interesting and exciting thing about that is that about half of those lands that they recently received, and by the way, the feds still owe us some more lands that they're negotiating, but half of those lands have now been added to the current Bend UGB, so there will be opportunities for them to figure out exactly how to deal with those lands now that they are much more marketable. Should they sell them? Should they enter into development contracts? And they do have a master plan around that. We support POP 106, really critical, because here is one more place where agencies, and you have heard me say this through other agencies, where there is shared services, contracts, working together in these small agencies. This is the one that shares payroll amongst a number of agencies. And it's just critical that we do that. We do need to figure out ways to save money. I spent 30 years advocating for K-12 schools in Oregon as a volunteer. I get it that we need money. So I just want to say that this agency is well run. We acknowledge their small staff, frankly, their many jobs, and we hope that you will support them and support their efforts, and be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions? Yes, Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Peggy.
Yes, sir.
You may have heard me yesterday. I don't know. When I asked Director Paul if he was aware of anyone who is going to be doing an analysis of what went wrong, what brought us as a state of Oregon to the brink of losing the crown jewel known as the Elliott State Forest. And I'm wondering, having read a number of the league's different works, whether that would be a good project for the league.
Co-Chair Witt. Co-Chair Frederick, and by the way, Co-Chair Frederick, thank you. I'm glad to see you here. It's wonderful to see you back.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Witt, I will discuss that with league members. The way studies usually happen are they usually happen through league membership saying this is a real critical issue. We do have a few small things related to the Elliott in our coastal study. This would be really challenging, and I think we sort of know part of it. In 1990, with the beginning of the listing of the spotted owl, and then this happens to be in a special place that gets to grow all these special creatures, and we don't even know what else is there. We know that marbled murrelets are there. We know that coho salmon lives there. And there may be many other creatures that live there, and I think that's really part of why we're where we are. It's a really steep and rocky and lots of hillsides and impossible landslide kinds of place. It's not a flat forest for the most part where it's easily harvested. That makes it challenge for that. It makes a challenge for doing timber roads. So there are a number of factors, I think, that have caused this issue. I'm not sure what the league could provide as far as a look back, but I certainly will take it to the membership and ask.
Go ahead.
Peggy, maybe one of the most valuable things is an analysis such as that could make recommendations as to how to avoid high-stakes high-stakes politics that nearly costs. I don't know. Maybe we lose the forest. Maybe we don't. But I don't think we can afford to have very many replays of this.
Co-Chair Witt, Co-Chair Frederick, this will be the year that the decisions, I think, will be made. Either this legislature will find, and the governor will find a way to keep the forest in public hands, or they won't, and that's just sadly the honest truth.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I have one other person signed up, Fergus McLean. Is there anyone else who plans on speaking? No? Okay. Please, Mr. McLean.
Thank you, Senator. Co-chairs, members of the committee. My name is Fergus McLean. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
I'm a retired Lane County forester. I have a bachelor's in environmental health from Oregon State. I'm here today to bring the committee's attention to questions about selling the Elliott Forest raised in the new working paper from Natural Resources Economics, a consultant I emailed the link to Mr. Stainer of your staff, and also to discuss steps DSL should take to obtain funds from the Healthy Forest Reserve Program to address the questions raised in the Natural Resource Economic Study. In that study, veteran economist Ernie Neamey argues that selling off the Elliott will, in the long run, harm rather than benefit the Common School Fund. It calls into question the wisdom of the entire Elliott sale process. You have to look at it, but he's looking at the declining timber jobs, declining price of timber, and the rising recreational sector, and arguing that the benefits from the recreational sector overbalance the short-term costs of the Elliott. Now the land board has partially directed DSL to go back to the drawing board for a public option. I join with you, Representative Witt, in asking what happened and what can we do about it. One problem I see with DSL's sale process of the Elliott was its failure to seriously consider the full potential value of carbon credits, partly because of the estimated $3 million cost of certification in the Carbon California offset market. But if you, I've been trying to tease out these numbers, and they should be available, and I don't know why I'm the one who should bring them to you, but apparently if 1,000 board feet of timber is roughly equivalent to 5 tons of CO2 equivalent, then the carbon will be worth as much as the timber when the price of carbon reaches $50 a ton. These are rough numbers on the history in the Elliott. And the Canadian government already announced that they will raise the price of carbon to $50 a ton by 2020, just 3 years from now. And another factor that isn't looked at is that when you establish a carbon reserve, you're not selling the timber. You're leasing the rights to that timber, which expires after 99 years. At that time, you've got a 100-year-old stand of timber worth $50,000 an acre. So it's not like it's a long-term loss. Surely these values should be considered before this forest is sold. Another shortcoming of the Elliott sale was not valuing the economic impact on the threatened coho salmon, whose habitat could be put at risk from aggressive logging in the Elliott. And as Peggy mentioned, almost a quarter of Oregon's entire coho population comes out of the Elliott. Surely that has an economic value. The good news is that there is a federal funding source under the 2014 Farm Bill designed to protect forests like the Elliott, which are rich in carbon and endangered species. Excuse me. It's called the Healthy Forest Reserve Program. It provides matching funds up to $10 million per project, with multiple awards possible. The Healthy Forest Reserve Program is an NRCS program designed to protect forests of exceptional ecological value, especially for endangered species and carbon sequestration. A HFRP proposal for the Elliott could fund certification of Elliott carbon credits, while the 99-year carbon reserves could simultaneously protect the Elliott's endangered owls, coho, and murrelets. I hope your committee will consider urging Director Paul to move quickly to provide staff and resources we need to meet the preliminary HFRP deadline, which is April 21st. That's a fairly, just the outlines of a proposal. Proposals who are invited are due on August 31st. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Are there any questions? No? Thank you very much.
Do you like
much.
My carbon analysis? Five tons for 1,000 board feet? I think it's ballpark. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other folks who wish to testify? Did we have a closing from the
yesterday?
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I think we've had a short committee meeting today. Thank you very much. And on Monday, we come back with who are we
hearing Monday?
ODFW.
ODFW, right. So I'm going to close this particular hearing on 5537. And we'll be back on Monday to talk about ODF&W. I'm sure it'll be a short hearing as well, right? With no controversy
None
whatsoever.
At all.
Thank you. Closing the Joint Ways and Means Committee, Subcommittee on Natural Resources for Monday, for Thursday. Thank you.
Take care. Do you want to add ODF&W do? Before I add ODF&W do?
For Thursday. Thank you.